the grace of God. You are saved by grace and through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Virtue is the gift of God. Holiness is the gift of God. All these things are gifts given from God. Now, he gives it as he pleases. He doesn't just give, "Well, then God, give it to me." You raise your hands to heaven, waiting for him to drop it on you. God gives it as it pleases him. He, it pleases him to give it to us through our, one of the first gifts he can give you that you could obtain all the most precious things in God is he might give you a little diligence, that you would use speed to pursue after them. He would put a heart in you to seek them, a heart in you to love them, to love the truth, and to pursue it. That is the grace of God. The grace of God is his favor towards us. And as they say, it is unmerited favor, meaning it is not favor that is earned. It is favor that is given through the sheer benevolence of the one giving it. I mean, because he's good, he gives grace. Not because I'm good. You know, God didn't choose me because I was better than other people. Though he wants me to be better than other people. He's going to make me better than other people. That's his work. Though I'm no better. You know what I mean? What I mean is, like, he's going to make me not metaphysically better, but, I mean, in the sense of, like that, you know, as a person, I'm better. As a person, I'm just another person. But in my body, he's going to create works, and I will walk as Jesus walked. That is the effect of grace. I will live as he lived. I will die as he died, or in a similitude thereof. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily have to put on robes and walk in sandals. I don't have to grow my beard out. I don't have to be crucified, literally. Though I do have to be crucified. I have to crucify the flesh with the affections and lust, that I no longer would walk in those things. I need to also suffer for his name's sake, as all who will live godly will suffer. Verse 4. And I'm just going to kind of move on, because these topics are going to be covered, I know, as we go forward in that. If there's questions, just keep studying. Remember, this is at the... I'm nearing the end of my instruction in the Epistles of Paul. We got 3 big books left, and then one tiny little book. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and Hebrews, but I already taught Romans, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus, and all the other epistles from James, Peter, and John, and Jude. I've already gone over those. There should be, if you've studied with me through those, there should be a great foundation laid. If you haven't, I'm going to try to keep it informative enough that you could start right here, but I don't recommend it. Verse 4. I guess because I take through a certain... The reason I say all that is because I do a certain thoroughness the first time I broach a particular subject. And I try to be pretty thorough as I go along, because it always bears reminding. We always want to exercise our mind in these things. But, you know, I felt like times past, I just covered the grace of God, again, in the epistles of John pretty thoroughly. And I go on it again and again, and I will keep repeating it. But everything I say is based on that I've heard in the scriptures. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship is partnership. You know, it means fellow participation. Intercourse. You know, social intercourse. Though the relationship between Christ and the church is likened to a husband and a wife. But it also is likened to this, that we are to grow up into him. As Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his master. But it is enough that his servant be as his master. I want to be like my teacher. I want to grow up like him. I feel like everything I said was just confirmed in these four verses, five verses here. Excuse me. Where he says, "Now I thank my God for the grace given you, Jesus Christ." What? Now look at. What is the grace that is given to them by Jesus Christ and to us? That. This is the grace that God has given. That. See, God gives grace. There's all God has manifold grace. It's varied. I mean, there's all kinds of graces given. You can have grace to, I got the grace of God came to me that I could be delivered from drugs and alcohol and have a completely temperate life. You know, grace was given to me that food would have no more, like, you know, the pull of food was, you know, I could be moderate. I mean, there's always a pull of food. You get hungry, right? But to be able to deny, be able to do with less, to put off the excess and all that, you know, it takes grace. Well, what I'm saying is, grace is given that what, like verse 5 I'm talking about, that in everything you are enriched by him. Grace makes us richer in things, in everything. You got more money, you got more cars. No. In everything pertaining to the things of God, to the good things, pertaining to his kingdom and to his righteousness. Because enriched means literally to be made, we are made rich or abundant. In all utterance, that is, utterance, I believe, is logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is logos. But it means, you know, there's other words for word, you know, retos and...